You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
In a whoosh of a whisker, a pet seems to go from being a cuddly bundle of fluff to a mature member of the family with silver whiskers. You try to be a good pet owner. Take your pet in when it's ill or when you get those pesky vaccine reminders in the mail. But are you doing all that you can to ensure that your pet's health span equals its lifespan? Dr. Carol McConnell, Vice President of Underwriting and Chief Veterinary Medical Officer for Veterinary Pet Insurance, will explain why pet wellness starts with a plan. We'll be right back after this break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step by step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's O Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. O Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. McConnell, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So I understand this is not the first National Pet Wellness Month.
That's correct. National Pet Wellness Month was started several years ago. In fact, this is the sixth annual National Pet Wellness Month, and it was initiated by the American Veterinary Medical Association, which is the professional association that represents all veterinarians here in the United States.
Not just cats and dogs, so a little bit of everything, yes.
Absolutely.
Now, I know there are partners involved in this particular campaign. Who are the different partners?
The original partner were the American Veterinary Medical Association, as I said, and then Fort Dodge Animal Health, which is a pharmaceutical company. And then Veterinary Pet Insurance has joined this campaign this year in the year 2009.
Very nice combination. And this year I know that the title of this, the emphasis, is going to be Pet Wellness Starts with a Plan. What's the plan that we have to have for our pets?
Well, the National Pet Wellness Month has a different theme or campaign each year. And as you said, this year is the Pet Wellness Starts with a Plan. And to keep it very simple, it's a three-step plan. The first being that wellness exams at your veterinarian's office are critical to pet health, and those wellness exams are recommended twice a year, not just the once a year. That's step one. Step two is disease prevention, and that is incorporating what is available as far as, you know, vaccines, preventative treatments, what have you, for disease prevention. And then step three is incorporating pet health insurance to help that pet owner be able to afford the care that the pet needs.
I think this is wondrous, so easy for people to remember, you know, this one, two, three. I'd like to take each one individually. The twice-a-year wellness exam. Sometimes I have the hardest time. A client calls and I just need to have my pet's vaccines done. Okay, it's been a year. We'd like to have you come in. The doctor needs to see your pet. It's healthy. Really, the doctor needs to examine your pet. There's nothing wrong with the pet. You're just trying to get money out of me. How do you address that?
Well, actually, it's really interesting you say that, Dr. Cruz, because I have a smile on my face, and as a fellow practitioner, I have experienced what you're describing. I think what pet owners need to understand is, as a veterinarian is in the exam room with the pet on the exam table, and they're running their hands over the animal, there is a lot that goes into that. They're not just, you know, scratching behind the ear and keeping the pet entertained up on the stainless steel table. There's actually quite a bit of an evaluation going on. And the sensitiveness of the veterinarian's fingers are feeling things under that pet's skin, and actually feeling the surfaces of organs, what have you, in the abdomen, looking, you know, deep within the eyes, that kind of thing. So there's a lot more that goes on to just going in for the vaccine. That examination is the key to your pet's health in the future.
And twice a year. I mean, you and I go in maybe, you know, if we're not feeling well, or okay, we'll go in once a year because you and I need to have our mammogram done and men, you know, their PSA test, whatever. But oftentimes think, I'll just put it off. I'm fine. Why twice a year?
Well, and it's important to bring a pet in more frequently than humans. If you think about the aging process, you know, the life expectancy of a human can go up into the, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, what have you. And so, you know, we age at a much slower rate versus a pet, a dog, a cat, companion in the household, is considered geriatric by age 8 or 9. And life expectancy obviously can vary by breed, but anywhere from 10 to 12, 14 years old. So given the fact that disease can occur in a pet much more rapidly, diseases that are involve multiple organs or, heaven forbid, cancer, can occur at a much more rapid rate, which is why it's important to get a pet in on a more regular basis. And twice a year is now the recommended visit, you know, rotation, if you will, and which is why the AVMA, the American Veterinary Medical Association, has gotten behind this campaign.
Pets are so good at hiding their signs of illness, and I'd say probably cats more so than dogs, at least in my opinion, because a dog is typically out there, let's go for a walk, George, come on, let's go for a walk. And a kitty, when they feel good, and especially when they're a little on the mature side, what do they do when they feel good? Sleep. And what do they do when they don't feel good? Sleep. So sometimes it's hard. I know last week I was helping out a colleague of mine working at his practice, and a client came in, and they hadn't been there for about 4 years, and this kitty came in looking like it was on its last paw. And from what I was seeing and asking questions, we ran some immediate blood work there in the hospital, and the kidneys were in total shutdown, and they were shocked. They had no idea, because the cat, it just been like the last 2 or 3 days that this kitty hadn't been feeling well. And sometimes it's, excuse the pun, it's when it's catastrophic when they realize there's a problem.
Well, and I think that's, my heart goes out to those folks. I'm sure it was hard for them to learn their cat was so ill, but it's a very, very good reason for why these twice a year examinations are so critical, because much can be going on in a dog or a cat. And they can't communicate to us. That's another one is, you know, they can't come over and say, hey, I'm not feeling very good, or my tummy hurts, or I'm feeling dehydrated all the time. So that's yet another reason why going into the veterinarian on a regular basis is so critical.
One of the things, and I'm sure you did it too when you were in practice, because it does seem times like we're just sitting there, you know, petting the pet while it's on the table and chatting with the owner. I'll oftentimes try to have them, okay, you come over here. You're seeing me twice a year. You're seeing your pet every day. So do me a favor, on a monthly basis at least, do what I'm doing, and I'll show how you lift up the ear, look inside, take a sniff, look at the eyes, looking at the color of the lens and the cornea, and looking at the teeth and the nose and the fur, and showing them little bumps and lumps. And I'm one that tends to say, okay, that's about the size of a gumball. I tend to do things the size of food. But show them what I'm doing. And if I have a pet with a heart murmur, for instance, I'll recommend that they purchase, it doesn't have to be an expensive stethoscope, and they don't even have to know exactly what I'm listening to, but they're listening and looking and feeling for changes and keeping a pet health diary. If you notice something, write it on down, because to you at home, it may not mean anything that, oh, the pet seems to be flooding out the cat box or drinking more water, or the dog's asking to go outside in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and it's never done that before. But when you put all that together and you bring it to your veterinarian's attention, it can really be helpful. Did you ever find that to be true?
Well, I love your idea of the pet health diary. I bet it's just spectacular. In fact, probably one of the number one things that people need to pay attention to is what is normal behavior versus what is abnormal behavior, and it can be very subtle. So I think keeping a diary is a superb way for people to really get a sense of what is normal behavior, what is normal activity, what is, you know, normal consumption of food behavior and urination patterns and stuff like that. So that's a brilliant idea.
Well, thank you. Now, a brilliant idea that you had was really staying up on disease prevention, because it's so much more cost-effective to prevent a disease than to treat a disease. What are some of the diseases that this National Pet Wellness Month is concentrating on?
Well, the lifelong diseases that can affect dogs or cats can range anywhere from kidney problems, as you mentioned with your story of your friend's cat, to diabetes, to hyperthyroidism in a cat, hypothyroidism in a dog. And these diseases can come on very, very slowly, and the pet owner has really no idea that this is going on, which is why your idea of the diary and the idea of twice a year examinations by the veterinarian will help the veterinarian intercept these problems sooner and hopefully be able to get the pet on the appropriate medication or what have you.
I think sometimes people don't realize heartworm, for instance, I'm here in Southern California. Heartworm, thankfully, is not a major problem here in Southern California. I do recommend it for dogs and cats for internal parasite control and just a matter of wellness. But sometimes people traveling, could you address that a little bit? You know, say people travel with their pets now because they love to take these family members everywhere with them.
Well, and that's actually a very good point. Just because you live in an area that is not endemic with heartworm doesn't mean that the pet could not be exposed if indeed they, you know, are out of the area. And so heartworm preventive, which is, you know, typically a once-a-month tablet, is something that would be appropriate, you know, for a dog that does any kind of travel whatsoever. And so that absolutely makes sense. And so just because it's not here in Southern California doesn't mean that it's not an important disease and to be concerned about with your pet.
And how about having multiple pets in the family, taking care of health, keeping in mind that you have multiples, is not an only child?
Well, and that's true, too, because you never know, especially in the case of fleas. I mean, we talked about heartworm, but fleas are something that certainly Southern Californians are worried about. And a lot of times people will say, oh, my indoor cat, I don't need to worry about fleas for her, but I do worry about the flea preventative on my dog, because my dog is the one who goes out. Well, unfortunately, it's not that quite that simple, because it could be that the dog picks up a flea in the backyard that was perhaps brought into the backyard by a raccoon or a squirrel or something, and then the dog walks in the house and the flea pops in your carpet and then eats lunch on the cat. So just because you have one pet in the household in this example, flea preventive, doesn't mean that you don't want to have every animal in the household under the same kind of level of care.
Being here in Southern California, We have a lot of recycled water that's used in landscaping. Could you address some of the things that urban pets can be exposed to that people might not think about?
Well, certainly any kind of water that's sitting still can breed mosquitoes, and that is you know, clearly a concern. An example that comes to mind is I know there are people who are not using their swimming pools as much, you know, with the economy, what have you. Any kind of stagnant body of water would not only breed mosquitoes, but actually represents a bit of a hazard for an animal should they accidentally fall into a swimming pool or something like that.
West Nile virus, yeah, you're exactly right. You know, that's a problem because it can just be small little puddles in a backyard. It doesn't have to be a big on pool. One of the things we're seeing a fair amount in my part of Orange County is Giardia, that little sickle cell organism that I think a lot of people would say, oh, I only have to worry about that if I go to the mountains and I know I need to, you know, boil the water before I drink it. Well, here we have dogs and cats who are lapping that little puddle of water that's being used for landscaping, and poof, they're coming down with this nasty diarrhea.
Well, and I'm sure a lot of people are confused by that, because if they haven't been hiking in the mountains, they're not quite sure how this happened.
And oftentimes thinking it must be the veterinarians when I was taking that pet there to be boarded. How about some of the diseases that can be prevented through vaccines? You know, we don't hear a lot about, for instance, a parvo vaccine or distemper. Is there still a need to vaccinate pets as aggressively as we did in the past?
Well, we get asked that question all the time. As a pet insurance company, people will ask us what is the appropriate vaccination protocol for their pet. And the way our wellness products are created is so that they can have a bucket, if you will, of benefits available for vaccinating upon the recommendation of their individual veterinarian. And that is something they'll need to work with their veterinarian on effectively a customized vaccination protocol for their pet, what is appropriate for that pet's environment.
Very important. Well, we're talking right now with Dr. Carol McConnell. She is with Veterinary Pet Health Insurance, and she's also been talking about the National Pet Wellness Month that is ongoing. We'll be right back after this short break and talk about pet insurance, of why pet insurance is so integral in keeping your pet's health span equal to your pet's lifespan. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Give your dog some thought with Dog Thoughts. It's the iPhone application that everyone's talking about.
Hey, what do you think of this? Davis, California says he's invented an application for the iPhone that claims it can read your dog's mind. Huh? No, it's true. I read about it on my cat's Twitter page. That's why.
Jay Leno talked about it, CBS reported on it, and now you can see what all the buzz is about. Created just for dog lovers, Dog Thoughts makes taking photos of your furry best friend more fun. Shake your dog and read his mind. On your iPhone, of course. Take a pic of your pup, shake your phone, and watch as his thoughts appear on the screen. Does he have a bone to pick with you, or is he having a tail-wagging day? Get your Dog Thoughts iPhone app today. Just 99 cents. Go to PetLifeRadioPromotions.com. That's PetLifeRadioPromotions.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Hello, I'm Deborah Wolf, and I'm inviting you to my animal party on Pet Life Radio. The dress code? Come as you are. Pajamas, a tux. You can even go naked like your pets. Unleash your party animal at my animal party. Guests you know from Animal Planet, TV, radio, the news, and bookstores will be joining me. And that's because after I won Best Pet Radio in America from the DWAA, I got my paw in the door and I met a lot of amazing people. And the best of the best are going to be coming to the party. They're coming to party with us. So join us at the animal party. Don't miss the party.
Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. McConnell, I think this is wonderful that you're talking about pet insurance because a lot of people think that, oh, it's only if you have the really expensive, maybe the designer dog or the purebred dog, that you're going to want to insure that dog or a show cat. Veterinary pet insurance, I know, has been around for a while. Tell us a little bit about what pet insurance really is.
Sure. Veterinary pet insurance has been insuring pets over 20 years here in the United States, and as your assumption is that it's purely for the purebred dogs, but what we find is actually a significant number of the diseases that we know from our data are actually things that affect any dog of any breed, and that's true for cats as well. Examples are probably, you know, one of the most common things we see claims on is ear infections. And ear infections can affect a dog pretty much of any age, of any breed, and that's also true of cat-type diseases as well. Something, you know, like kidney failure, which we were talking about a little earlier in our conversation here, again, can affect a cat of any breed. So pet insurance isn't just for specific animals, but is appropriate for animals of all breeds and all ages.
There is so much controversy right now about pet insurance, national health insurance for people. And I can imagine there's some people listening to this going, oh no, all I have to do is get involved in some type of managed care program for a cat or dog, somebody telling me what I can and cannot do. How does pet insurance correspond to human health insurance? Is it the same type of a monster?
Actually, it's an excellent question to ask, Dr. Cruz, and they're completely different animals, if you will. Pet insurance is actually a form of property insurance, which may seem a little bit strange at first, but if you go back into our agricultural-based society of over 100 years ago when the law books were written, animals by law are property. And so a pet insurance policy actually covers the pet as if it was property. So in no way is it similar in its design or construction, if you will, to a human health care policy. So that's number one. Number two is the pet owner is free to use any veterinarian they'd like at their discretion. It's not a matter of the veterinarian choosing to accept or not accept the insurance. And that's because all decisions about the pet are made between the pet owner and her chosen veterinarian. And then services are rendered, and then the bill is paid. And then the paid invoice is sent to us, and we reimburse off that paid invoice. So again, we don't care who you use as your veterinarian. We don't examine details of what treatment was given or not given or what have you. We reimburse purely off of that paid invoice.
Now, I know that there is a kind of preventative coverage and then there's medical coverage. How are these varying?
The veterinary pet insurance design is that we have what is called a base medical plan. And that base medical plan is very broad coverage. It covers 300 to 400 diseases that are in the arena of accidents, injuries, advanced diseases, or very short-term diseases, like I said earlier about ear infections. And that is our base medical plan. To that a pet owner, at their option, can add a wellness rider, is what the insurance term is. It's just a supplement, if you will. So to that base medical plan, which covers the sick care needs of the pet, they can add an optional well care rider, and then that would help them with reimbursements towards their twice-a-year wellness exam, the vaccine protocol that they decide on or customize with their veterinarian, the heartworm preventive, the flea preventive, that kind of thing. So it supplements the sick care quite nicely, and it's very popular. Most people do pick up the well care supplement.
Some people would say, well, this is really nice, and I know there's quite a few different companies that are now offering pet insurance, but, you know, I'll just save the money. If I run into a problem, you know, my pet's been really healthy, I'm just going to open up a savings account for my pet. How would you address that type of an answer? Is it a good idea just open up a savings account, or why would pet insurance be better?
Well, if someone opens up a savings account, that's a fabulous idea, and hopefully they will have the discipline to keep it well funded and not dip into it, because certainly the point would be to have the money available when the pet's need arises. Little bit of a hiccup if there's a problem with timing. For instance, if someone starts a savings account and they very judiciously intend to put $30 a month in that account, and then unfortunately if the pet becomes sick or injured only, you know, 2 months later, well, they only have $60 in the account. So in principle, savings accounts should work, again, given the assumption that a pet owner is disciplined and they keep that account well funded. But also you run into that issue with the timing. The same $30 a month could go to an insurance premium, and that insurance premium would be there for any kind of accident or injury 2 months later.
Dr. McConnell, you mentioned ear issues, and that is so common, and oftentimes it seems to be a recurring problem because too often it's due to things like allergies. I know in human medicine, if there is a pre-existing problem, it's like, chalk it up. You'll never be covered for that. If an animal, for instance, has a pre-existing problem, can they ever be free for a period of time before they say, okay, yes, that can now be covered?
Yes, yes, and yes. So pre-existing conditions are something that the pet has, you know, before the insurance policy was ever in place. And the analogy would be, say one got in a fender bender with their car, and then they changed insurance company 6 months later and went to the new insurance company and said, oh, can you help me with this old damage? They're going to say, oh, no, that was pre-existing. You know, we're not covering that. So the principle of not covering pre-existing conditions is not unique to pet insurance or human health insurance. It exists in any form of insurance. It's like you can't call up and ask for insurance in your house after the house is burned. So the principle is very, very sound across all insurance policies. What you're mentioning, your second half of your question, is if the pet has a disease that is transient in nature and can be resolved and completely cured, can that pre-existing condition or notation, if you will, be removed from their policy? And the answer is yes. If indeed it's something that the pet had, like an ear infection, and it was treated appropriately, and upon recheck appointment, the ear infection is absolutely clear and gone. And then if the pet continues for 6 months without any recurrence of that same ear infection, the pet owner can ask us to remove that pre-existing condition off of the pet's records with us.
Another good reason why you're saying going in twice a year for these wellness exams, because you can stay on top of problems that can recur, but if you're vigilant, no, you can get it under control. That's marvelous. How about experimental? You know, we know that in human medicine, again, maybe you have something as horrible as cancer, and okay, your doctor says, yes, there is this new experimental technique that is just being tried. I've heard marvelous things about it. I think you'd be a perfect candidate. And then you talk to your insurance company and they say, nope, this is experimental. We can't cover it. Will, for instance, veterinary pet insurance, if an animal were to have something like cancer, is, number one, cancer covered, and experimental procedures, are they covered?
So to answer your question about cancer, yes, cancer is covered in our base medical plan. and the breadth of cancer that can occur in a cat or a dog is indeed covered. We also have something called a cancer rider, and the rider is the word I described earlier, meaning it's a supplement, if you will. And for a pet owner who's concerned about that, they can add the cancer supplement to their base medical plan. As I said, the cancer coverage is already in that base medical plan, but the cancer supplement brings the benefit levels to a little higher denomination. So that is available, and yes, we do cover cancer. The other part of your question was experimental treatment. Now, experimental treatment, it depends on the veterinarian and who has access to that or what have you. Again, we don't get involved in treatment protocols or decisions that are made between the veterinarian and the pet owner. We allow all of that decision-making, all of that conversation to occur between the pet owner and the veterinarian. If it's a disease that we cover on our benefit schedule, absolutely we're going to cover that. It doesn't matter if the veterinarian chooses an old-fashioned drug like a generic penicillin or a brand-new cutting-edge drug that was just recently announced by a nearby university. How that veterinarian chooses to treat that disease that we cover is up to her. We reimburse accordingly as long as it's something we do cover.
So a question, I wonder if veterinary pet insurance has thought of sending your model to Obama and letting him know this is working, really, it's working very well. They might want to adopt it in the human arena.
Well, and I'll tell you, that's very entertaining, you know, and it makes me immediately think of their Portuguese water dog, which is the new family member there in the White House, and that Portuguese water dog would certainly be an appropriate candidate for a pet insurance policy.
I wonder if it's insured, because I think today is actually Beau's birthday, if I remember correctly.
Oh, well, happy birthday to Beau.
Yes. Now, we've been talking about cats and dogs. Veterinary pet insurance, does it cover other species?
We do. We have policies that cover avian and exotics. And when I say exotics, it's pretty much the role of pocket pets, if you will. So hamsters, pet rats, rabbits in the household, birds. There are some very, very expensive exotic birds that can be have very, you know, high veterinary needs at veterinary clinics, and so we do have policies that cover the whole array of birds and pocket pets and even reptiles.
Well, it may sound funny. A colleague of mine here in Southern California is an avian specialist, and I've always marveled because his previous claim to fame was being able to spay a little parakeet, and the parakeet survived. So he says, oh no, he's gone beyond that. He had a finch, which is an itty-bitty little bird, that had a testicular tumor and could not walk. So he removed that testicle, and because it was putting pressure on a nerve going to his little leg, when the pressure was removed, now the little finch was able to perch and walk again. It's like, oh my goodness. So if it had pet insurance, I'm sure that would have been covered.
It would have been covered, and that is an adorable story. I did not know that surgery could be done on a testicular tumor in a finch. That's a wonderful story.
And it lives. That is the best part.
Yes, that's wonderful.
If somebody wanted to learn more about the National Pet Wellness Month, where can they go for information?
Sure. The National Pet Wellness Month has a website, and it is the initials N like national, P like pet, W wellness, M month. So npwm.com. And there's information there for pet owners who want to learn more about the National Pet Wellness Month.
Well, we've been talking today with Dr. Carol McConnell. She is with Veterinary Pet Insurance, who is one of the co-sponsors of National Pet Wellness Month, the 6th annual. It's also co-sponsored with the American Veterinary Medical Association and Fort Dodge Pharmaceuticals. This is really a three-pronged way to make sure that your pet stays as healthy as possible, as long as possible. So number one, twice a year wellness exams. Even though your pet looks healthy, seems happy, get it in. Make sure. Have your veterinarian show you what you can do at home so you can continue these exams on a more personal level during those times when you're not seeing your veterinarian. ways of disease prevention, preventable diseases, external, internal parasite control. And then also, very important, because you want to be able to pay for the miracles of veterinary medicine, and that's having pet health insurance. So if you have questions about your pet's health, best person to ask is always going to be your primary care veterinarian. If you have another question or you're not getting the answers that you think you need, you can always contact me at the pet doctor at PetLifeRadio.com. I'll very happily answer it. So thank you very much for listening. Dr. McConnell, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. This has been a delight.
Good. Thank you. Well, please tune in again next week, where we'll have more information to make you the best possible pet owner that you can be. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.